let's get started here. So we're in Siman Tzadik, and we're up to Sif Yud Ches. We're going to discuss the Mila of a Beis HaMidrash. Until now, we've been discussing the Mila of a Beis HaKnesses, and we'll see that a Beis HaMidrash really is a greater Kedusha than a Beis HaMidrash. Let's see the Mechaber. A Beis HaMidrash Kavua, which is kavua, means it's a place that's designated, it's used consistently as a Beis HaMidrash, a place for learning. Kadosh Yaisimi Beis HaKnesses is more Kadosh than a Beis HaKnesses. A mitzvah is Palo Boi Yaisimi Beis HaKnesses. And there's a mitzvah to daven there more than a Beis HaKnesses. Vahu, she's Palo Basara. But this is only assuming that he's going to daven Basara, that there's 10 people that are davening. It means he has to have a minyan. So the Mechaber seems to be saying that we're talking about the Mila of the Kedusha of a Beis HaMidrash, and the Kedusha of a Beis HaMidrash is greater than the Kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses, but that doesn't override the need for davening with a tzibur, with a minyan. So then it's only, the consideration over here is that we don't have to look at Roiv Am. In other words, if you're comparing the Mila of a Beis HaKnesses with Roiv Am compared to a Beis HaMidrash without Roiv Am, so then we would go to the Beis HaMidrash. But it doesn't replace a minion. Let's just see the beginning of the Ramah. V'yesh Aymrim, da'afila b'loya sara adif, l'ispalo b'Beis HaMidrash ha'kavu aloy. That there are those who say that it is preferable to daven in a Beis HaMidrash that's kavu aloy, that it's his place for learning, over davening with a minyan. V'davka misha tairasoi umenusoi veinam is bata v'lav hachi. But that's only for somebody whose taira is his umnus, and he wouldn't be batal otherwise. In other words, there's a consideration of bital taira. So just from the superficial reading of the Mechaber and the Ramah, they're discussing two different things. The Mechaber is saying that there's a Mila of the Kedusha of a Beis HaMidrash, but that Mila does not override Tefillah B'Tzibur. And then the Ramah is putting in a different point, which is that there's a Mila of his own Beis HaMidrash, a Kavu Aloi. But, and the reason why that's a Mila is not because of the Kedusha of the Beis HaMidrash per se, but because of Bittul Torah. That is Pashat how we would like to learn the Mechaber and the Ramah, but then we have a stickle problem. Mishnah Berurah does not seem to understand it as we explain. The Mishnah Berurah will say that even the Shulchan Aruch was talking about Bittul Torah, and the Machlokas is a Machlokas here, the Mechaber and the Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber is saying that Bittul Torah will justify being Mevater on Rav Am, but not on Tefillah B'Tzibur. And the Ramah holds no, Bittul Torah could even justify being Mevater on Tefillah B'Tzibur. And that's Dafka Misha Tairasai Umenusai. Well, we'll see, even that, there's a glitch in how to read it, but let's go from there, and then we'll try to figure out the rest of it as we go. You have a question? Here the question is, if you have a choice between a Beis HaMidrash or a Beis HaKnesses, a Beis HaMidrash is a place that's kavua for limud, and Beis HaKnesses is a place that's kavua for tefillah, which in just agav today, it's most common that places are made as a Beis HaMidrash. They're made with the kedusha, the purpose of learning. You have here in Mensa, we have the Beis Tefillah is like the classic example of a shul. There's no mezuzahs, you know. Most places, the shuls, the stiblach, you name it, they're a place for their learning and the davening also, but it's really both. Huh? All-purpose. So all-purpose, yes, it definitely has the Mila of a Beis HaMidrash. But al-Kopanim, this, we're comparing the Milas. So you have here, the Mechaber is telling us, there's a Mila of Beis HaMidrash. A Beis HaMidrash has a greater Kedusha. Okay, the Pashat, the way you read it, is of greater Kedusha. The truth is that there's a stira in the Magen Avraham. Well, okay, I don't want to know how much we need to get into it, but there's a Magen Avraham later in Hilchos Kedusha Space of Knesset and Kuf Nun Gimel that seems to understand our Sif, our Machaber, that it's a question of Kedusha Space of Midrash. The Kedusha of Beis HaMidrash overrides the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses. The problem is the Magen Avraham here, and Simon Tzadik by us, he seems to be going in a different direction. Our Mishnah Berurah goes with the Magen Avraham here. That it's not to do with Kedusha's Beis HaMidrash, it's because of Bittul Torah. Well, let's see the Mishnah Berurah, and you'll appreciate what I'm saying. Sivka Nun Hei, Hu Shis Palo Basara. That the Mechaber tells us that the Mila of Beis HaMidrash is only if you have a minion. So what's the milah then? If you have a minion anyway, say either way you're davening with a minion. What are you telling me? The base of midrash is bigger than base of Knesset. So the milah is that you don't have to worry about rov am. In my base of midrash, I have 10 people, and then I could go to a shul, I could have 100 people, a much more mohodedik davening, a bigger tzibur. Apol pikein, the milah of base of midrash is greater. Let's see that inside. Vafilo im base of Knesset ikar rov am hajus melech. There's a rov am hajus melech. In the Beis HaKnesses, that's a big mila. Mikol makom Beis HaMidrash adif. Still, the Beis HaMidrash is adif. The Beis HaMidrash has a mila. So again, you and I would have learned the mila is the kedusha of the Beis HaMidrash. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah. He seems to learn not like that. Hablavaki, if that wouldn't be the consideration, then rov am adif. Then rov am would be adif. It wouldn't be for the fact that this is a Beis HaMidrash. If you have two shuls, and one's a big shul, one's a small shul, we mentioned last night, that it would be better to daven in the big shul, all things aside, assuming everything else is equal, then you could you would choose the bigger basic Knesset. Ken Kaza Pri Megadim. That's Pri Megadim says. I think I skipped something. Yeah, basic Midrash says. Fahani Mili the Misha Loimed Boy. This is only for the person that is learning in it, because we're assuming that the whole Mila Beis Midrash is that you're here, you're learning, and you're using every moment, it's so precious, and then you're going to go to shul, you're going to leave. And there's a walk there, and then, it takes time, the ilim have to show up, and you're going to waste a few minutes while you're waiting for the minyan to start. Yeah, so there's going to be bittul zman, a bittul beis hamidrash. So in order not to be mevatel, you're learning, you're allowed to stay in your base of midrash and daven with this small minion, your 10-people minion, because that's, you're losing the rov am, and technically it would be a bigger mila for you to go to the shul, but because of your bittul Torah, we're not going to require that. So it says the Pri Megadim, if that's the explanation, if that's the reason for the halakha over here, so it's only applicable to the person who's learning. But just Tamaza, you came from work and you're looking to choose a shul. Which shul should I go to? Should I go to the Beis HaMidrash with 10 people, or should I go to the Beis HaKnesses with 100 people? So the Pri Megadim says, please. Well, why should you go to the Beis HaMidrash with 10 people? The whole mila was that you shouldn't bother learning. You're anyway not learning. You're just trying to find a place to dive in. So go to the place with the big shul you have, Rav Amar Jez Melech. That's what Pri Megadim says. So that he wouldn't have to be battle from his learning to go to the shul. So then he's going to stay in his base of midrash. If it's not the case, if a person is not learning there, then rov am adif. Then rov am would be better. Then he would be preferable to go to the big shul. Ken kasa Pri Megadim. That's what the Pri Megadim says. So that's clear. That point is clear. Fine. Now the Mishnah Berurah is going to add to this Pri Megadim. He's agreeing with the Pri Megadim. Batsif means that the halacha over here is we're talking about a base of midrash, and the consideration is bittul Torah. Except he's going to add one point, which is that we're talking about a Beis HaMidrash of a Yachid. Now, the difference between a Beis HaMidrash of a Yachid and a Rabbim is, let's say, LaMashal, there's a Rav, and he has a room that he learns in his house, and this is his Makom Limud, it's Kavua for him. And this, he learns Rov Hayom Yom, he learns in this room, yeah? And it could be he has people who would come and make a minion for him also, he would have in there, fine. That's called a Beis HaMidrash of a Yachid. That's his own special place. It's not really a public place, but it's a Beis HaMidrash. It's a makom that's designated for limud. And then there's a Beis HaMidrash that's Kavul Rabim, which is something that we're more familiar with. You have a place, it's like a public building that people come and they learn, anybody can come, and it's open to the public where the Rabim learns there. And that's the Beis HaMidrash of the Rabim. So the Mishnah Berurah is going to say as follows, that this that we say, that the Kedusha, if we're comparing Kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses to a Beis HaMidrash, and the Beis HaKnesses has a greater Kedusha, it seems, and the only reason why we would allow him to go and daven in his own Beis HaMidrash as opposed to going to shul was because of Bittul Torah, that's because it's a Beis HaMidrash for a Yachid. So Beis HaMidrash for a Yachid is not so pashut that the Kedusha is greater than a Beis HaKnesses. Excuse me, what did I say? A Beis HaMidrash of a Yachid is not so pashut that the Kedusha is as great as the Beis HaKnesses. Yeah? In fact, we'll have later in Siman Kuf Nun Gimel that there's a halacha that you're allowed to sell a Beis HaKnesses and buy a Beis HaMidrash with that money, but you're not, you can be malin b'kaidish, but you're not allowed to go down. You're not allowed to go the other way. You should sell it for sell a Beis HaMidrash and go down to a Beis HaKnesses. So there the place can say that that's davka a Beis HaMidrash that's kavul l'rabim. Beis HaMidrash that's kavul yachid is not pashut. It's not clear which one is more kadosh, the Beis HaKnesses or the Beis HaMidrash that's kavul yachid. So that's what we're talking about over here. And our halacha, we're talking about a person, he has his own personal Beis HaMidrash, where we don't know, it's not pashut that the Beis HaKnesses is the Beis HaMidrash is more kadosh than the Beis HaKnesses or vice versa. It's not clear. So then, the only reason why we're saying don't go to shul and go to the Rav Hadras Melech is because of Bittul Torah. Fine, and then it's only mutter for the person who learns it, not somebody else. But a Beis HaMidrash, it's kavul l'rabim, a place that's a place of learning for the public. So that clearly, without any question, has a mila in kedusha over a Beis HaKnesses, and mimela that would always be preferable to go, even if he doesn't learn there. Because then the consideration is not a consideration of Bittul Torah. Then the consideration is which place is more Kaddish. And a Beis HaMidrash, which is Kavul Rabim, is more Kaddish than a Beis HaKnesses. That's what Mishnah Berurah says now. The Nira Pashut. It seems Pashut to me. Does that Davka be Beis HaMidrash Shekavul Yachid Lilimut? That it's his own personal Beis HaMidrash, and he learns there. And then we say that if he's learning there and there's Bittul Torah, so then he doesn't have to go to shul. But if he's not learning there, so then let him go to shul. The likavua kedusha say kol kach. It doesn't have such a strong kedusha. That here, the Magen Avraham over there implies that that's what we're discussing over here. Is a Beis HaMidrash that's kavua liyachid, and that's why we're only going to allow him to go to stay in his Beis HaMidrash because of Bittul Torah and not because of the Kedusha. Of al Beis HaMidrash, a Kavua of the Rabbim, Lumayda Torah, the Limayda Torah, a place that's designated for the Rabbim to learn. Bevade Kedusha se Chamura Yoisimi Beis HaKnesses, and certainly the Kedusha of that Beis HaMidrash is greater than a Beis HaKnesses, and even without the consideration of Bittul Torah, it is preferable to daven there. Mutav Lizpalo Boy Vasara Yoisimi Beis HaKnesses, Sheish Boy Ruvam. Then a Beis HaKnesses that has Rovam. So if he's comparing a Beis HaMidrash Kavula Rabim, which has a small minion, to a Beis HaKnesses, which has a very big minion, it would still be preferable to daven in the Beis HaMidrash that's Kavula Rabim, as opposed to the Beis HaKnesses. Good? Afilu Misha Ein Olay Mid by Kwal. Even if he doesn't learn there, it's not no issue of Bittul Torah. Here we have just comparing the two different binyanim. The binyan of a Beis HaMidrash that's Kavula Rabim is the most kaddish. Look at Yisa b'Gemara, like it says in the Gemara, Do'ev Hashem Sharem HaMetzianim Ba'alacha Yaisi Mibatei Kanesiyot, that Hashem loves the Sharem HaMetzianim Ba'alacha, which means the Beis HaMidrash. Hashem loves that place. That's Lo Matza Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Dalad Mishachar Beis HaMikdash Lo Matza Kadosh Baruch Hu El Dalad Amos HaAlacha, that Hashem only dwells in the Dalad Amos of Halacha. That's the Iker Makom of the Shechina, is a place of Liman HaTeirah. So that's the Iker place to be Mispalo also. That's the biggest mile. Fine. Okay, so that's clear. Now we have to go on to the Ramah. The Ramah then adds to this that there are those who say that because of the consideration of Bittul Torah, not only is he allowed to daven in his Beis Midrash with a minyan, even though it's not as big as the minyan in the shul, he's even allowed to daven in his Beis Midrash without a minyan. Because the consideration of Bittul Torah is a very serious consideration. And it's kedai. It's kedai for him to not be batel from Torah and to continue his learning and not have to go to the shul. That's the Ramah. He just said Yesh Aimrim. He's not saying this is halacha, and we'll see it's not. There's a side reason why it's not so pasha. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah. Sifka Nun Vav. Venom is batel. This person, he is Tarasa Umnotai. Tarasa Umnotai means that it's his life. His life is Torah. He doesn't do anything else. So Mishnah Berurah explains it. So the reason why Mishnah Berurah has to explain it is because there's two madregas of Torah Seum Nasai. The Gemara says that Rabbi Shimon, Bar Yochai, and Chaverov, they were putter from Tefillah. They didn't daven ever. They never daven Shmon Esther. And the reason why was because their Torah was Umnasai. They were so davuk in Torah, so they were putter from Tefillah. Their Torah was higher than Tefillah, and they were putter from Tefillah. So if we use that expression, Tarasa Umnasai, about a person who has a chiyuv to daven, but he doesn't have to go to shul, he can daven at home, so what do you mean? If it's Tarasa Umnasai, so then he's putter from Tefillah altogether. So the Mishnah Berurah is saying, we don't mean such a madrega of Tarasa Umnasai. We mean a lower madrega of Tarasa Umnasai, which is as follows, that he doesn't waste his time. He doesn't spend time on anything other than Torah. Yeah? So let's see that in the Mishnah Berurah. Rosh Leimar, the only thing that his whole life is just tzarchei gufay, things he needs just for his well-being, and then his learning. He doesn't have any other side projects. So mimeila, that's called tarasa umnasai. So for such a person that his whole life is about Torah, then he's justified to be mevatel the minyan in order to be oisek in his Torah. Okay. Even if he doesn't have a minion, he doesn't go to shul. Because that's mevatel his learning at the time that he has to go to the shul. Fine. So far, the way that we're explaining the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah is as follows. The Shulchan Aruch is saying that a person who has his own personal Beis Midrash is not required to go to a shul where there's going to be a nice big minyan, if he has a minyan at home. Yeah, he's learning, and it's bittul Torah for him to go to the shul, so even though it would be nice to have a big minyan, he's not required to do that. He'll daven with his small minyan in his private Beis HaMidrash. And the Ramah comes along and says that there are those who say that when it comes to bittul Torah, even if he won't have a minyan, he's also permitted to daven in his personal Beis HaMidrash, and he's not required to go to shul. That's how we're explaining, and the Ramah says that this exemption from davening b'tzibur only applies to somebody who's tairasai umnusai, that his whole life is his taira, like his taira is his whole life, and he has nothing else that he busies himself. Fine. Now, the Gra says that this a definition of a person, Tarasa Mnusai, that has got nothing to do other than learning Torah, such a person is everybody agrees you're not required to daven in a minyan. Everybody agrees to this. Even the Shulchan Aruch, which was a Rambam, even the Shulchan Aruch agrees that if it's Tarasa Mnusai, he's got nothing else to do except for learning Torah, so then he doesn't have to be mevatel to daven with a minyan. That's the Gra disagrees with the Ramah over here that he made it a machlokas, that if it's Tarasai Umnasai, there's a machlokas, that some say you should have with a minion, and some say you don't need a minion. No. If it's Tarasai Umnasai, then everybody agrees you don't need a minion. Yeah? And the machlokas, if you need a minion or not, it has to do with the Kedusha of the basic Knesset, and compared to the Kedusha of the basic Midrash, others say that you need a minion, others say not. Let's see the Gra, Ayin Bavir Gra. Shekasa of the Ba'ofen Zesh, it's Tarasa Umnusai, that his Torah is his Umnus, Afilu Adei Rishayna, Leibin in the Torah. Even according to the first opinion, you don't need to. The Kolshagain, Balaymi Torah, Barabim in Talmidim, and a Kolshagain of a person is learning Barabim with his Talmidim, She'ein Le Levatal Milimudai, Leilek the Bekanishta, that he is not Mechuyiv to be Mevatal is learning to go to the Beis HaKnesses. The Sefer Kitzur told us the Chofetz Chaim, the son of the Chofetz Chaim, writes. He describes the tremendous effort that the Chofetz Chaim would put into his writing of the Mishneh Berurah, and he goes through describing the Seder Hayom, what it looked like. He says that they started together at about 10 o'clock in the morning. And they would learn, and he explained that the Tirka, how they would go through all the Makairais from the Gemara and the Rishonim and the Paiskim, Achrenim, Rishonim and Achrenim, and they would spend a whole day. The Seder was from 10 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock at night. And he says that they didn't even take a break for lunch because the Chofetz Chaim was concerned if he would stop for lunch, maybe he'd fall asleep. If a person gets sleepy, they eat, they have lunch, they would fall asleep. So he says sometimes the Chofetz Chaim's wife should be machabed them with some potatoes in the evening at 5 o'clock, but the kids, they learned straight, yeah, from the late morning, 10 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock at night, they learned straight, but at a stop. And, yeah. And then the Chofetz Chaim himself, then this chavrusa would come to an end, and the Chofetz Chaim would learn a lighter limud with his son went out for another 2 hours, a different chalik of Mishneh Berurah he would work on until about 11 o'clock or something at night, like this. This was the Seder of the Chofetz Chaim. So he says over there that the Chofetz Chaim in this tekufa, he would daven ma'ariv not the tibur, daven ma'ariv not the tibur. So just to give an idea of a tzir, what we're talking about over here. When did he? This was the learning. The learning was the writing of the sefer, and yeah, they would work on it. They worked on it, how to word it and what not to word it, how to say it. And this was a tremendous, tremendous effort. The sefer. So he was doing a work for Klal Yisrael, and he understood that every minute was mamish precious. It was of the essence. It took him so many years, and you can only imagine that such a lifetime project. Like I think it took him 26 years to write the Mishneh Berurah. So such a lifetime project. Every minute was precious. So to go to the shul over so many years, we're talking about so much time that he's going to be lost. So he understood that for Klal Yisrael and the project that he was doing, it was a necessity to use every spare moment that he had. So then I don't know if for that whole time he wasn't having Meir, but it's Tibur, but I'll put him in this at least for a tekufa that he had, that was to give us an idea of what we're talking about. Now, we'll see in the Shulchan Aruch, let's go further in the Ramah. The Ramah now tells us, this is from a Tshuva to Rush, the Rush was asked about this halacha, and the Rush said that the truth is that there's another reason why a person should not rely on this. Really, it's true. A bittul Torah is really a good justification for not going to shul. The problem is that people are going to learn. They see that the Talmud Chacham, well, let's assume for a minute that there's only one shul in town, and everybody knows that he's a big Talmud Chacham, and everybody sees he never comes to shul. Everybody's in shul, and he's not. And they're gonna think they're not gonna be down in the chavschus. The reason why he's not coming to shul is because of Torah. They don't understand that if for his Torah he doesn't come. So I also have things. My business is also important. They won't understand properly. It will come to a zilzul, and people will stop coming to shul. That's what the Rush wrote in his time. And that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, is that this is not, even though technically it is true, but there's a problem of chilul Hashem. And that the Amaratzim are going to learn, so it's not recommended to be done on a regular basis. A person should not be in the habit of doing this. That the Amaratzim shouldn't learn from him. That there could be chalila a bittul of Beis HaKnesses. That means this is a very important mitzvah for people who are working. Probably one of the main mitzvahs that they do, the highlight of their day in Rukhni is the shul, is coming to shul, davening the minyan, hearing Kaddish and Kedusha, and that's his, for a working person, that's his main avodas Hashem. Maybe he goes to Yeshir at night, that's his avodas Hashem. So if there's going to be a bittul of basic kinesis, this is a terrible loss for Klal Yisrael. So the Talmud Chacham, even though for himself personally it's true, there's a consideration of bittul Torah, but he has to worry about Klal Yisrael also. That they shouldn't learn, that Beis Knesset is not important. Also Yetzahara. They're busy saying Slichas and Techinais, and he wants to be Isaac in his Torah. So if he's going to do that in front of Amratzim, again, they're going to learn from that, oh, it's not so important, the Slichas, the Talmud Chachamim, they don't do it, they don't say them. And, you know, he wants to learn, I want to shmuz. So what's going to maintain the sanctity of the Beis HaKnesses and the importance of the Slichas and the Piyutim if the Talmud Chachamim are not going to participate? So that's what Rabbah says, that he's mechuyev to participate for that reason. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah and then Zayin and then Ches, Shal Yomadu, that the people will not, they shouldn't learn from him that you don't go to shul. Ki lo yedinu lechav schus, they're not going to judge him properly, fairly. At least leis b'sei rasli. To be tailored, to assume that it's because of his Torah, Shavish v'li mudo yom his pal b'yachid, that's because of his learning. That's why he's having mechiyas mizil samazay, they'll assume for not good reasons. Listen, if he's a big Talmud Chacham, and it doesn't matter so much davening with the tzibur, so then for us, for sure, it doesn't matter. And they won't care about tefillah. So therefore, it's not a good habit for a person to be in that he's going to be learned from, that people are going to see it's not important to come to shul. Bizman shat tzibur, he shouldn't be Isaac and other things during the piyutim, and the slichas, the takanunim, whatever it is, says the Mishnah Berurah, v'kein b'shas kriyas ha-teira, same thing by kriyas ha-teira, is that he shouldn't be involved in his learning, he has to listen. Kasev, sefer maimer mordechai, interesting halacha. What happens if a person, he davens before or after, whatever, he davens in one place, and he's learning where there's a minyan. He's learning where there's a minyan. And he wants to learn. And the minyan is going on. There's a minyan to answer, there's Kaddish to answer, Gedush to answer, right? All kinds of things going on. And does he have to stop every 30 seconds to participate in the minyan, or could he just learn and ignore them? That's the question. Says the Maimer Mordechai, Dimu Kavai is Paul, if he already davened, so he was yaitza his chiyuv of tefillah. Veino Aymed Sham, Elolana is Kaddishim and Kedushais, Me'oisam Shapurisim al Shma. He's there to answer Kaddish and Kedusha. Excuse me, sorry, I was remembering something else. The case of the Maimer Mordechai is that he davened already, and he is there to hear the Kaddish and Kedusha. Yeah, and they're Purus al Shema, Chayzim called Tfilor, it's a second minion. Isaac Batera, Veinu Chayshesh, he could be Isaac and Taira, and he doesn't have to be Chayshesh, Mekin Mukhach Milash and Agat. So then he doesn't have to participate in the Slikos, the Takanun, the extra stuff. Since he wants to answer the Kaddish and Kedusha. Yeah. The question I was alluding to was something else that Achronim are done. Is what happens if he's it's bothering his learning, he can't concentrate because every 2 minutes he's answering Amin or something. Yeah, just there. So there are Achronim that say, or Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and others say that he's not mechuyev to stop every time if it's going to stare his learning. He was already Yotzei, he davened already, and he's in a place where they're davening, and if he's going to have to keep stopping and answering, it's going to bother him. He doesn't have to answer. Amaris Ayin, that's interesting. You know, people learn from him. And here you see that the Maimer Mordechai himself. Right. So how do you, with the Maimer Mordechai himself, how do you answer that? They're saying Piyutim, and he already, so I think it's apparent from the fact that he's sitting there learning that he's not davening at all. See, if he's davening with them, and then you see every time they go to a Piyut, he goes to his Gemara, so then that's a zilzul in the Piyut. Here we see that he's got a chavrus, he's sitting there learning. Everyone knows he has to daven, or I think to that extent they're going to down in the chavrus, it seems, apparently, from the Maimer Mordechai. So, we hope so. Yeah, oh. And you're there at the tail end of their chakras? Oh, when they're by Hodu. Oh, so very good. So you have a Maimer Mordechai who says that, yeah. Yeah, so certainly the extra things he says that you don't, that you certainly don't have to do. The Kaddish and Kedusha, from the Maimer Mordechai, apparently you would answer. Oh, that was one thing I was going to say. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that the Kaddish, you could stay sitting, and if it's going to tear you, you don't even have to answer the Amen. You could answer, but if it's going to stay, you don't have to. But he says the Kedusha, you should stand up for the reason you said, because everybody's standing there saying Kedusha, and you're sitting down. That stands out like a sore thumb. That's why you should stand up. He says, I think Elaine will also. Because that, everybody's going to notice that you stand up for Kaddish. You're in a shul, everybody stands up by Kaddish? There's a machlokas if you have to stand up for kash. The Ramah holds that you should. It's a davar shebekedusha. The Arizal was not makpid, and especially in shtiblach and things like that, the people are not makpid. It depends on where you are. I mean, you know, like in. Right, you're behind and you're sitting, and then you would continue sitting if you. Yeah. You're saying Shema, you want to, and they're after something else. Yeah. Yeah, so it's permitted if it's, it's permitted. I could sit then, no problem. So let's go further. Sif, Yud Tes. Anu alaka, yikba makom l'tfilasai. The Chazal say that a person should be kaveh makom l'tfilasai. Hashem elokei Avram is Ezra, he has siyasa d'shmaya. So he has a kviyas makom. So now, what does it mean? Well, it's a lo yishanehu im lo l'tzairich. So the Mechaber tells us that unless you have a good reason to change it, you shouldn't change it. So someone is sitting in your seat. We'll see in the Mishnah Berurah, as long as you're within your dalet amos, you're okay. So the truth is, even if somebody is sitting in your seat, you could probably still find a place that's within your dalet amos. But in economy, if somebody's sitting in your seat, you don't have to kick him out. You know, if you decided that's his makom kavua, maybe you could talk to him after shacharis, but al kapanim, yeah, just for one time, it's not a big deal. You don't have to, you don't have to chase away the guests because they're sitting in your seat. Ve'ein dai b'meshi yikba loy b'beis ha'knesses. This pala is not enough to have a beis ha'knesses, meaning the building that you're in is kavua, but every time you dive in a different corner, ela gamba beis ha'knesses to kavua ba, tarik shiye loy makam kavua. Even in the shul itself, there should be a makam kavua. That's actually a machlokas rishonim. There are rishonim that hold that it's enough to just have to be in one building, and then you can go anywhere you want, and within the building. But al kapanim, the Shulchan Aruch here says you should have your makam. You should have your makam, a makam kavua, and it's true by tefila, and the Dirshu brings in, and it's true by limud. Also, there's a maila of a makam kavua. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah and the test. Yikba makom shekein matzina ba Avram Avinu. We find by Avram Avinu shekava makom letzfila. So that Avram Avinu had a makom kavua for his tefila. Could exceed, like it says, vayashkem Avram ba baiker. That Avram Avinu he got up in the morning. El hamakom asher omad sham, to the place that he was standing there as pnei Hashem. So it seems that he came back to the place where he was standing before. We see a kavias in his tefila. Vegam shekishem ispal beveisoy yikba makom shu yival blu bnei abayit. That when he davened at home, he should also have a makom kavua. Now, from here, really, you have an interesting ha'ara. Huh? At home, yeah, he should have a makom kavua in his home that everybody knows this is Tati's makom tefillah. They shouldn't stare. If he has to daven at home, so then it should be such a place that it's a makom kavua for his tefillahs. Now, you have an interesting ha'ara over here, is that before you see that even if he's davening in different places, I mean, usually we're assuming he's usually davening in shul. And we're saying that when he davens at home, he should have a makam kavua. So it seems that both places are called a makam kavua, even though he's in two different places. So the Dishu brings down from the Prima Gadam that there's taka such a inyan, if he has like his summer shul and his winter shul. So he should have a makam kavua in each place. And he says in a different sefer that he wrote, the Rosh Yosef, that even if a person, he davens in a place once a year, but every time he goes there, he should daven in that same place that he davened the time before. There's an Indian of kaviyas, so whatever extent you can have, there's an Indian of kaviyas. Yeah.
Somebody sure
could have said
that you could daven at a home without a
You're asking what if...
I don't understand why,
why a person would daven at home. Why'd you have? Okay, 100%. Yeah, you're saying in
terms, we're not at the level of learning.
No, you're asking why a Bakwala person would have a place in his home to daven, whoever davens at home. That's you asking. Yeah, Yeah, okay, and I can imagine. And Baruch Hashem, we're fortunate that we have the opportunities to so many shuls and so many places and so many times that they're davening, and you know, when is a person davening in his home? Okay. Yeah, I agree. You're saying just in general, this point of the Mishnah Berurah doesn't seem to be so applicable. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I mean, a person who was, let's say, more out of town or something, fewer often minyan, and once somebody told me that, I don't remember who he was, he said that, you know, after 8 o'clock or something, you can't get a minyan anymore because, you know, all the minyanim are hashkama, everybody's working, all the minyanim are hashkama, and like, you know, after a certain time, it's like, it's over, you know. It's only that's coming, like, that's it, you know. Well, whatever the situation is, I'll confirm this is halacha, is that there is such an Indian. If he's going to have to daven in his home, he should have a place for his tefillin. Okay, very good. Makam kavua, it should have a makam kavua. Oh, and just one more thing that the Dirsha brings down is also, it's a person who is... a person who wants to be a shliach tzibur, he's a chiyuv for the amud bar minan. He's a chiyuv for the amud. So, and in his shul, his makam kavua, so they don't have. There's already an avol chayis. He doesn't have a opportunity to daven for the amud. So the shaila is: should he leave his shul to be a chiyuv, or should he daven in his shul? So it's interesting. They bring down that there's difference. Rabbi Yashar says it's mutter. If he wants to go find another shul, he could do so. And then other Akhrenim hold that he doesn't have to. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Arbach and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenevsky say that he's not mechuyev to go to another shul. He'll daven in his own shul. And they bring from Rabbi Nissen Krell, it's an interesting thing. He says that everything that a child does for the parent is a ili nishmasli. So he wants to be mispalel ili nishmasli. So Nissen Krellitz said, if he'll not go to another shul and he'll keep his makum kavua, that'll be lili nishmasa. He's being the kind of mitzvah of kriyas makum. Lili nishmasa's parents, that'll also be a skus for them. Yeah, okay, he'll go to another shul and make that his makum kavua. Okay, enachinami. So that's man. So that's kufa, he'll make that his makum kavua. Could also be enachinami. Yeah. Fine. Let's go for this. Sif Katan Samik, we didn't say that, we spoke about what we didn't say. Tech Arba Amais, within four Amais, Chashuv Makom Echad, that's all considered one place. DF Shalot Sam, same, because it's impossible to say exactly the same place, so the Kviyas means in that general area. Sif Chaf. Yikane Shir Shnei Psachem Bachakachis Palom. When a person comes to the shul, he should come in the shir of two psachem, two doorways. And then he should be mispalel. Now, there's a few different explanations of what it means to come in to psachim. Yesh mefarshim shir shnei psachim. He has to come into the doorway, the space of two psachim. What does that mean? Two doorways. Da'ayinu shmoyne tfachim. Each pesach is four tfachim. So he has to come into the room eight tfachim. Yeah, it's not so much. It's maybe a little over 2 feet. Yeah, ikanei lifnim. He should make sure he shouldn't stand right by the door. Shalo yeshiv eitz lepesach. Why? What's the problem of sitting right by the door? Shneir kamaso yeshivas basic knesses. He looks like he's in a rush to get out. He doesn't want to go in too far. He wants to be right by the door so he can 1 foot out the door. So that's he shouldn't look like that. So in order to avoid that appearing like he's 1 foot out the door, he should come in the shir of two psakim. That's the first explanation. The second explanation is similar. That it's he's going to say nakamina. If he's that, im yesh le makam yuchad etzla pesach, and that's his makam kavua is right next to the door. So everybody knows he's not 1 foot out of the door. That's just his place. Ein b'kachum, no problem. Yesh mefarshim shatam. Others say the reason why you need to come in the space of the eight fachim is not because it shouldn't look like a burden, but because if you're right by the door, then you're going to get distracted. So you have to come in. Come mamash into the shul, that you shouldn't be right by the doorway to get distracted. Mipnei mabit b'chutz, he'll look out, v'eino yachol l'chavit, he won't be able to have kavana. Well, if he's that, according to this, im eino pasuach rishus rabim, ein makaklum. If the doorway is not next to a rishus rabim, it's a woody area, I don't know what, so then there's no distractions over there, so then fine, you can sit right next to the door. Fine. And then a third pshat in the mechaber is not the space of two psachim, rather it's the amount of time it takes to walk two psachim, which also maybe is a couple seconds, V'yesh mefarshim, others say, shalo yemaher lispalo miyad kishenichnas. A person should not walk straight into the door and daven. Now you may be wondering, when does that ever happen? You have a whole psuk zimra and that. So I would say by mincha. By mincha, there's only an ashray before tefila, and then maybe he was a little bit late, and he missed the ashray, and they caught just the tail end of the kaddish, and he walks right into the door, and boom, he wants to set his shmona esrei with the tzibur. So he should not do that. He should wait the shir of shnei psachim, the amount of time it takes to go to psachim, which is a couple seconds, and then he can start his shmona esrei. Ela yisha shir shnei psachim, and then we have three pshatim here. He should either wait the space of two psachim or the time of two psachim. The nachal lachos l'chol pirushim, and he should be makmir on all the pirushim. So we'll see that Mr. Barisiv Kotin Samach Aleph. Shir Shnei Psachim is another, a fourth explanation of this two psachim. The Bach learned that there should be a corridor in front of the shul. In other words, you walk from the outside into a hallway, and then from the hallway you go into the main shul, and that's the Shnei Psachim. There should be literally two doorways to get into the shul. Ein Babak Shekasav, the Tarek Lassayf Azara, there should be an entryway, a hallway, Lifnei Beis HaKnesses, Dugmata Ulam, like in the Beis HaMikdash, there was an Ulam that was before the main area of the Beis HaMikdash, Shehaya Lifnei HaHechol. The Herach Lefarish Bezeh, Maimer Deshir Shnei Psachim. And he explains, that's the Shir of Shnei Psachim. Kein Kasa Magen Avram, V'chein Nagu Kayom B'chol Malkom, every shul, they make it in such a way that there's an entryway before the actual room of the shul. Alkein Tov L'Hadir L'Chadchila, Shul is Pal Bazara, Ki'im B'Beis HaKnesses. So a person, L'Chadchila, should not daven in the hallway. He should daven in the shul. I guess if there's an overflow, there's a big minion or something like that, it would be preferable to daven in the room of the shul, not in the hallway. And we said the Yishe, the last parish was, he should wait the shir of Tupsachim, Kadesh Tizyashiv, Daitoy Allah, Vizpal B'Kavana. He should wait the amount of time it takes to go the Tupsachim, then he'll have Yishu V'das. He should stop for a second before he prays. Because he's Paul taken, because he has a piece of main dictum Yishevislav. He just walks in the room and starts davening. He doesn't have Yishuv Adas. One last halacha, Mechabdim, but Pesach, Bezer Knesset, Shikanes, Agadol, Tchila, Hoyel, Verui, Lemezuzah. You can give kavod to somebody when he walks into a shul. You should give kavod to the Gadol, because the basic Knesset is, even though it doesn't have a mezuzah, it's Rui, Lemezuzah, so it's a makam of kavod. That's there.